The day of the hearing is fine and sunny. The harbour, viewed through Jack's large picture window, sends off sparks. I can see Anderson's Bay, where I grew up, and the adjacent hills where I hiked with friends. The soldiers' memorial, splintered years ago into my memory, is a poignant silhouette on the ridge known as Highcliffe. I feel as if those hills, with their peaks and troughs, their shadows that dip and dive into the sea, live inside me. If I stare long enough, I tell myself, not for the first time, I will decode their mystery and understand why they awaken in me such a deep sense of longing. Janet is optimistic. In 6 months' time, the adoption laws will change and adoptees will be able to access their birth information without recourse to the courts. The legislation to make this happen is already in place. But I will not be here in 6 months' time. My marriage may have ended, but my life in England has not. So we go to court, confident that the judge, his name is Twaddle, straight out of Dickens, I whisper to Janet, will let me see what I will soon be entitled to see, with or without his permission. But Judge Twaddle has other ideas. He listens to Janet's submissions, reads the documents we have filed in support, asks me a couple of questions, then rules that as I am clearly of sound mind, am I supposed to be grateful for that? With a clear sense of identity, he sees no reason why my birth certificate should be made available to me. It's all over in a matter of minutes. Janet and I walk out of the courtroom, Janet muttering rebelliously, I silent beside her. When we reach the reception area, Janet grabs my arm and says, "Wait here." "What?" "I'll only be a few minutes." I watch her scurry back into the courtroom and disappear through a side door. I'm too upset by what has just happened to think about anything else. Whatever she's gone to, it won't change the verdict. True to her word, she's back within minutes. In her hand is a piece of paper, which she passes to me. "If you ever tell anyone about this, I'll be debarred," she says, glancing over her shoulder to be sure she's not being heard. "You can't do anything with it, but at least you have what you came for, your birth certificate." I glance at the paper, but the words won't stay in place. All I see is a series of grey smudges surrounded by white edges. Is it the original? No, I'm not a thief. Fortunately, I know my way around this place. It's a photocopy. I look at her in astonishment. This is a side of my cousin I've never seen before. "I figured the judge would head for his room," she says, pulling on my arm to hurry me out the door, "leaving the documents for his clerk to file. I was right. All I did was borrow one page from his bundle." I look again at the page in my hand. "Francis Hilton James," I read, "born Timaru. Mother Betty Hilton James, born Stratford, Taranaki. Father unknown." I try to say thank you, but a trapdoor seems to have sprung shut in my throat. Janet smiles. "You do understand what I'm saying, don't you, Nookie?" She calls me by my family nickname. "You can't do anything with it." I nod. "Good. Then I think we deserve a drink,"